idea.
Yeah, I feel lucky to be on these airwaves with you tonight. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Let me tell you, I opened my back door, and it almost blew off the hinges. Little did I know, I had opened the door to 74-mile-an-hour winds. No joke. Not exaggerating. Terrible, terrible weather where I happen to be located in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Funnel clouds touching down. The worst thing I've ever seen in Texas. You all know my story. I've lived in California, the East Coast, and everywhere between the Midwest. But I have to say, I went through a brutal hurricane, and it reminded me very much of that hurricane. Yeah. Sad to say, it's all about the hate. A white supremacist kills a guard at the National Holocaust Museum. We have more details coming up around the bend on that. Miss California gets shoved out bye-bye crown. And just say no to smoking cigarettes. The FDA might be close to actually being able to regulate, do you believe it, the sale, the manufacturing, and the marketing of tobacco products? Woo! Philip Morris must be trembling. That's all coming up on tonight's show, plus a lot of other fun surprises as well. Each and every Wednesday, we're joined by Easy Ticket Mike, talking a little sports here with you across the nation. I know you're listening to us in Connecticut. You've got that great facility there, baby, where the Rangers play. It's the Cathedral, Madison Square Garden. And, of course, my Philadelphia Phillies in 11 get by the New York Mets. Always weird for me as I covered the Mets. And, of course, my first love is the Philadelphia Phillies. His first love is anything Dallas, but he joins us all the time to talk about what's happening across the board, including the concerts that are coming up. Hey, Easy Ticket Mike, how are you?
I'm doing great, Kate. How are you doing?
Good. It was pretty brutal weather, so lots of power outages, a lot of crazy things happening, as I just said to all the listeners across the country. Mother Nature every night seems to rear her ugly head, and I guess it was our turn.
Yeah, the power is at my computer, but it came back, so it was, you know, pretty good things. It said transformers blowing up all over Dallas this evening, but it's still coming. I think more storms coming in through from the west. I was looking on the TV here, but I've been watching the NBA finals here lately, and I watched that game last night with Orlando pulling it out over LA. That was fantastic.
Yeah, that was great for the Magic, their first win in the finals ever, and to pull that out the way they did, they were on fire. Their shooting percentage was horrible in the two games in Los Angeles, and they were on fire in front of their home crowd. And Kobe Bryant was terrible when he needed to be on in the last quarter of that matchup. So now L.A. is 2-1, but Orlando looks pretty good. This is really a series, I think.
Yeah, and I think the game tomorrow, I think Orlando's going to take that one, too, and I think it's going to be tied up 2-2. I think this series, you know, before last week, I thought Orlando was going to take it in six, but, you know, things just change. I think now I'm looking, and I do think L.A. is going to take it in seven games back at Staples Center.
Yeah, I always thought it was going to be L.A.'s game for sure. I just wasn't sure in how many games, but I thought L.A. would do it. And Kobe Bryant, this would be his fourth championship win, and he wanted to be the centerpiece, and he would be the centerpiece. He just wasn't in that last game. In hockey, though, it's been incredible. Amazing the way the Pittsburgh Penguins played the other day as they tied up their series with Detroit. I love a Game 7, and so, you know, there we are talking about a Game 7 game on. Was that exciting? Did you see that game, that 2-1 win for the Penguins?
Oh, yeah, and, you know, the Penguins had it, you know, pretty much the whole game. Detroit came back and got one goal there in the last period, but you know, the Penguins, they did what they had to do to keep the series going. I think you know, come Friday, I think Detroit's going to take it back home in the Joe.
Yeah, I think Detroit has it too, absolutely, but they made it more exciting, and like I said, there's nothing like to me, in hockey, in baseball, or in hoop, there's nothing more exciting than to see it go seven. Now, in baseball, it's been kind of interesting. You know, we're still not at that halfway point, but we're seeing some pull-away teams, some of the same teams that we've seen before. The Phillies, of course, won the World Series last year. Who knows what's going to happen in the NL East? They had a thrilling win over the Mets that I mentioned previously in 11 a few moments ago. But, you know, I'll tell you, there's some interesting stories out there this year, for sure, like the Dodgers. They don't have Manny Ramirez. He's suspended. He showed his face, Mike, up by here in the clubhouse the other day, probably because he wants everyone to know he's still around, because even without Manny, they were doing okay.
Oh, yeah, they've, you know, they've got a, well, they've won 40 out of 60 games so far.
And, yeah, incredible.
You know, they got the best record in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, what I've said is the you know, the NL West is kind of a weak division, but the Dodgers are doing great. I mean, they're coming here to Texas this weekend with a series against the Rangers. Rangers, you know, they're still looking really good in the American League. They played Boston. Boston's got the best record in the American League right now, but the Rangers took two out of three against them here just a couple days ago. So I think that series with the Rangers and the Dodgers is going to tell who's the real team and who's the fake team.
Yeah, it'll be interesting, absolutely. I'll tell you what I really love, and I played this course, and I feel so fortunate. When I was working in New York City to get a chance to do this, when I was working for The Fan, I think it's the best perk I ever got in my whole life in being in this business. I got to play the black course at Bethpage. And, of course, that's where the U.S. Open is now. And you got Phil Mickelson, who's pretty emotional, choked up, back on the tour. That's going to be fun to watch, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. And I've got you know, some quality tickets for the U.S. Open. I've already got tickets for next year's Open. But, of course, I'll be sitting on those for a year.
That's okay. That's all right. Where is it? I don't even know where it is next year.
It's in, let's see. Well, I got the tickets from the, I just picked them up.
Usually I know these things, but for some reason I don't know where it is. I knew Bethpage and what was happening there, but I didn't know for next year. Because, you know, that's laid out, obviously, and you know because you already have the tickets. It's laid out ahead of time. So, and speaking of tickets, you have concert tickets. There's just a ton of good stuff out there because it's summertime. The Jonas Brothers are coming out, and it's interesting for people listening to us across the country in Connecticut and Illinois and Vermont, and they're going that way too as well. But they're starting at the $1 billion Cowboys Stadium,
yeah,
and then that's where they're going to start, so good for them.
Yeah, and let's see, the George Strait, he was here with Reba McEntire this last weekend. They opened it up, but he's on tour. He's going to be in Virginia this weekend. I've got tickets for the Verizon Center in Virginia Beach. And then he goes the Saturday. He's down the road in Bristow, Virginia.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I got tickets for that. But he always puts on a great show. You know, he had a sold-out show here in
Texas. Absolutely, absolutely. And you can get tickets to any of that, Mike, thanks, by going to easy-ticket.com. Again, easy-ticket.com. Coming up next, John Hayes. Want to talk about owning a franchise? This guy knows all about it. Hang with us. That's coming up around the bend on ATN.
How would you like to cook any meal using no electricity or gas and cook your meals off the grid? Well, now you can, thanks to the Survival Oven. The Survival Oven is the most amazing off-grid solar oven that can cook anything that a conventional oven can without the energy bills. By condensing sunlight, the Survival Oven can produce temps up to 350 degrees, cook delicious and nutritious meals, sterilize water, dehydrate food, and so much more, all at zero operating costs. The Survival Oven can be used year-round, even in the coldest sub-zero temperatures, and is a must for emergency preparedness and even everyday use. Visit SurvivalOven.com to get your very own survival oven. Order the Survival Oven now, and we'll get you started with two cooking pots and a recipe booklet absolutely free. At less than 10 pounds, you can take Survival Solar Oven with you anywhere. Call 877-642-1553 or go to SurvivalOven.com. That's SurvivalOven.com.
Good day. Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources. June 10, 2009. Gold opened this morning at $965. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $992.46, $496.23 for the half ounce, and $248.12 for a quarter ounce. That's $992.46, $496.23, and $248.12.
How is it that we the people grow the cotton, weave it into fabric, engrave the ink, embed the strips and fibers that protect it from counterfeit, then cart the money off to a privately owned bank to have it lent back to us at interest, forcing us to pay taxes and service some debt? Is this capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when he said, a central bank issuing a public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a silver dollar inside of a book that explains how the monetary system works. Call for your copy, 1-800-686-2237. Isn't it time to understand the system? Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
You've probably heard about the incredible, powerful, and natural antioxidants found in red wine. Unfortunately, not everyone is able to drink a glass of wine each day. Now, you don't have to drink even a single drop, thanks to New Rev. New Rev is America's number one anti-aging supplement, thanks to its active ingredient, resveratrol. Resveratrol is the main nutrient found in red wine and has been proven to help slow down the aging process, help you lose weight, override an unhealthy lifestyle, boost your energy level, and so much more. New Rev has been the subject of some of the most exciting anti-aging research in decades and has only recently become available in purified form. Now, you can discover the amazing health benefits of New Rev for free. Just pay to have New Rev shipped to you. Get your free sample now at newrevonline.com. That's NUREVonline.com. newrevonline.com. Improve your life today.
Coming up later this week on America Tonight, we're going to talk with the actress from The Sopranos. Boy, when I was living back east, I was eating, living, and breathing The Sopranos. Edie Falco, you might remember her as Carmelo. She's in a new series on Showtime, and it's called Nurse Jackie. It's fabulous. Somebody sent me a preview copy of it, but it's actually out now. So if you get Showtime, you can watch it. It's super, super good. And I know a lot of people in the industry can relate to what it's all about, this show they've created. Joining us now in the air, pleasure to have him. His name is John Hayes, and if you go to his website, it's franchisemastermind.com. You know, the whole idea of owning a franchise, to me, there's something intriguing about it, and I've played in some golf tournaments with guys who have owned different things, from fast food to other sorts of stuff, and I was always intrigued how they got customers, kept them, and stayed in the cycle. So I can just imagine that John is a fountain of information. John, thanks for hanging late with us. We appreciate it.
Sure. I'm happy to be here.
Let's talk about owning a franchise. What are the, just in a nutshell, what are some of the misconceptions about owning a franchise?
Well, one of the greatest ones is that you can't make any decisions and that you're locked into doing everything the way the franchisor is going to tell you to do. And some of that, there's truth to some of that. They've already created the system, and they're going to show you how to operate it in order to be successful. But you've got to make a lot of day-to-day decisions yourself as well. And people also think that, well, they can't sell it. After they buy it, they can't get out of it, or they have to sell it back to the parent company, and the parent company is going to steal it from you. And that isn't true either. You have the right to sell it whenever you want to sell it, and you sell it for what it's worth. Now, if you signed a contract that says something to the contrary, then that would be a problem. But generally, that's not the case. There are a lot of myths that people have about franchising in general. Most of what people think they know is incorrect.
Does it happen when somebody has success with, like, let's say, one place? What if it was fast food? Do they often end up opening a couple others in key locations in their cities and suburbs and stuff?
Well, some people do, you know, but there are a lot of people who just want to own one unit of a franchise, whether it's in food or some service business. But then there's another smaller subset of franchisees who like to be multi-unit operators, so they're going to own 5 or 10 or 20. And then there are multi-concept operators where they own 3 of this and 6 of something else and 10 of yet something else. So there's a lot of that happening today, more and more of it, in fact, today.
Yeah, and you've got, I was talking about your website, and it is the place to go for anything franchised when you want
Thank
to talk
you.
About that sort of stuff.
Thank
it was really good. You know, whether you knew a lot about it, didn't know anything about it, were curious about it. And you've got a report, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective Franchisees. Give us a couple habits that work.
Well, one thing is that they do not blame the franchisor, because there are 3,000 different franchise concepts in the United States. There are lots of things for you to buy, probably a lot of businesses that you've never heard about before. So don't rush into something, because if you do and it doesn't work out, you can blame the franchisor if you want, but it's not going to do you any good. The other thing is, do what they tell you to do. Why people buy a franchise and then decide to do things their own way, it always baffles me, but I guess it's the American way, and it's our love for independence, that we want to do things our own way. Well, when you buy a franchise, you're going to follow the franchisor's system. Why pay a lot of money and then not follow the system? And the most successful, effective franchisees have always told me that once I started following the system, my life got better, my business got better, and not enough franchisees do that early enough.
Yeah, and is there something, too, about having a passion for what it is? You know, picking something that you really think you like?
Yeah, I think that's so important. And in fact, I tell people, you know, before you buy a franchise, think a little bit about what is it that you want to do. People think, well, you know, I'd like to be in the food business. And yet they've never been in the food business. So then they get behind the counter, or they get in their kitchen, or they start serving customers who are coming into their store, and suddenly they realize either they don't like people, or they don't like food, or they don't like the long hours, or they don't like, you know, something else about it. Well, too late after you bought it. Why not take time, go to work in one first, and find out what do you really have a great desire to do, because you're going to need to be there every day, and you're the one who's responsible for it. So make sure you are selecting something that it's not just the money that's got you excited. You're doing it because you really like the business.
Yeah, and it can be anything. It's funny. You know, I've lived all over. I grew up in the East. And one thing about Philadelphia is the cheese steaks and all the various Italian meats. And this show is national, and you guys in Connecticut always tease me in New York listening to us now. But I was starved for that kind of food, and somebody started a franchise in the Dallas-Fort Worth area called Jersey Mike's, and it is a runaway hit.
Yeah, I've heard that as well. I haven't been to one, but I've heard that too. And, you know, I spent 20 years in Philadelphia, greatest city in the world, in my opinion. And the food, you know, I live in Dallas now, and Dallas can't come near to touching the food styles and the variety of foods, and particularly the great Italian fare that's in Philadelphia. But I do see more and more of those kinds of things moving out into the country. And again, it's through franchising. People are figuring out how to get that done.
Yeah. John, you know, how did you get involved in all of this? Weren't you at one point in your career a professor?
Yeah, I was at Temple University in Philadelphia and loved teaching there. Just couldn't make any money as a college professor, so I was always writing on the side or doing marketing projects, communications projects. And a company in Wilmington, Delaware called in 1979 when I was a professor at Temple and said, "We're a franchise business and we need some help." And I don't even know what a franchise is at that time. You know, it wasn't very popular. I wrote Franchising the Inside Story as a result of starting to work with that company in 79, doing some consulting with them. And my book, Franchising the Inside Story, was the first one published about how to buy a franchise. And that really launched my career because media, radio, TV, newspapers picked up a lot, covered my book, asked me to write for them, or I appeared on radio programs like this. And that's what really turned things for me. And I left the university, and I started to specialize in helping companies franchise their businesses and market and promote franchises, not only in the United States, but in other parts of the world as well.
Yeah, and I think the whole franchise system, too, is only getting bigger. You would know better than I do, but am
I
right on that?
It slowed down this year. We were getting 10-15% growth of new franchise companies every year. But this year, it looks like, you know, it might be 5% or less. There aren't a lot of people right now who are striking out with something new to come up with, you know, new ideas and offer new franchises. So I think we've slowed down a little bit because of the economy. But franchising is still doing pretty well. The problem is that people can't borrow money to start these businesses, and so that's slowed down the sales of franchises.
Yeah, no kidding. So you're doing this, and what else is next for you? Another book? Are you going to do another book?
Well, I don't have another book quite lined up yet. I plan to. I've done 18 of them, and I plan to do more. Whether it'll be about franchising or not, I'm not sure. I've got a couple things that I'm working through, but I don't have a commitment yet on another book. So, but I am working with Michael Gerber on a very interesting project. He wrote The E-Myth, and he's going to do 100 vertical books like The E-Myth Contractor, The E-Myth Attorney, The E-Myth Accountant, The E-Myth Optometrist. And so I am working with him on a number of those E-Myth partner books, and that's been very exciting.
Yeah, no kidding. Gerber's such a big name, and
I
love the concept. The concept is great. John, thanks so much for coming on the show with us, and we'll send everyone to your website, franchisemastermind.com, and we'll talk to you soon.
I appreciate it.
Thank you. All right, went to Temple. He understands. He understands the food dilemma when you've lived in Philadelphia. I should have asked him this. Do you realize that if you're in Philly or Jersey, they pretty much call red sauce gravy? Yeah, it's gravy. Quickly, I want to throw a shout out to a couple of stations, WGVA 1240 AM and also WAUB 1590 AM. And those are an FM signal, yeah, as well on WGVA 98. All over the place in New York, upstate New York, they signed on to take America tonight, so that's terrific. We thank them and welcome all their listeners. You can call us and join the party at any time, 800-259-5791.
Concerned for the safety of your loved ones. Listen closely to this message from pepperspray.com. Every 22 seconds a violent crime is committed. America has changed, and your personal safety is your first priority. Be smart, be safe. Trust pepper spray instead of your luck. Pepperspray.com is the only website you'll ever need for all of your non-lethal self-defense supplies. Pepperspray.com carries one of the largest assortments of pepper spray and personal safety products on the web. From big to small, we have it all. Pepper spray, mace, animal repellents, stun guns, and tasers. Pepperspray.com also carries a large assortment of products for personal, home, child, and pet safety. Enter SAFE in the coupon box and you'll receive a special discount off of your order. So what are you waiting for? Go to pepperspray.com. That's pepperspray.com or call 1-800-908-9988 today.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Silver is mankind's oldest natural antibiotic. This very special mineral has been used for centuries by most cultures throughout the world. Utopia, Texas is home to a small but mighty supplement company called Utopia Silver, who offers colloidal products produced in distilled water without use of animal protein, nitrates, or saline solutions. Because our colloidal silver is made up of nano-sized particles, it can be better utilized at the cellular level, and germs can't mutate to be resistant like they can to modern-day antibiotics. products. Utopia Silver has a broad range of health supplements, including colloidal silver, gold, and copper, with a money-back guarantee on the colloidal products we produce. For 4 years, Utopia Silver has been fighting in the Texas courts against agencies that would steal our God-given rights of health care and freedom of speech. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's UTOPIA silver.com. Or call 888-213-4338. 888-213-4338 and help us win this battle.
If you owe the IRS, you can't make the problem go away without professional help. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax debt problems for 30 years, and I can help you too. We can stabilize IRS collection action and get your tax debt reduced, sometimes completely eliminated. And if you received a 1099 from a bank because of mortgage or other debt forgiveness, the vast majority of the time, I can show you how to completely erase it so you pay no taxes on what the IRS will consider to be taxable income. Call us for a free consultation to discuss the many possibilities. Call 1-800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NOTAX. Or go to my website at taxhelponline.com.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you. Call us today, 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
The word catastrophe is defined as a sudden and widespread disaster. The only way to be truly ready is to prepare yourself now. The7store.net is here to make sure you are fully prepared in the event of any catastrophe. The7store.net carries high-quality storable MREs, storable and freeze-dried foods, survival gear, terror and pandemic kits, water storage, self-reliant items, and more, all with a low-price guarantee. We are ready to answer your questions and offer advice on preparedness, food storage, and more. See why the7store.net is one of the nation's most trusted emergency preparedness companies for home, business, and schools. Take the first responsible step in preparing for the next inevitable catastrophe by visiting the7store.net. That's the7store.net. Or call 1-888-654-3447. That's 1-888-654-3447.
An 88-year-old man from Maryland had a history with big-time ties, I guess, to lots of different white supremacist groups, allegedly went into the National Holocaust Museum, the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum. I've actually been there. It's, boy, if you don't get tears in your eyes when you walk through that place, you have ice water in your veins, let me tell you. So anyway, he went in and started to rave and shoot. He's killed a guard. Witnesses say it was awful. They were shocked, couldn't believe what was going on. And, in fact, here's what some of them had to say.
Well, we were in the Remember the Children exhibit. We were just exiting, and we heard shooting. I ran towards the glass doors to see what was going on. I thought it was a joke or something. And there I could see a security man pull out his gun and shoot towards the shooter. I also saw another security man lay flat on his belly. There was blood everywhere. So I didn't actually see him get him shot, but I saw that he was badly hurt. He did get shot.
And then you saw some of the return fire from the security personnel.
Yes, yes, it hit the security man. I'm not sure where, but he was flat on his back when
Do you remember what floor that is? Is that the second floor?
We were in the second floor, right where the Remember the Children was. I see a view of the security people there.
Describe the scene. How many people were around the security personnel? Were there people near where the gunshots were being fired?
No, people ran as far away as possible. They were running towards me, towards the Remember the Children exhibit. People were on the floor. No one was standing up. No one dared move. We were all very scared. Finally, I ran back towards where my grandparents were to see if they were okay, and there we stayed till further instructions how to build, go from the building, just exit the building safely.
And so were you able to ascertain, you said that it appeared that the one security guard who had been shot, it sounded like it was a bad scene.
It was just terrible. I looked back and when I saw from there was already a lot of blood on the floor. It was just heartbreaking because I spoke to that security guard earlier. He was very friendly, and it just hurts to see him just fall. Yeah.
Wow. So you can hear a little slice of that interview. I wanted you to be able to get a sense for what people were describing there in D.C. But it brings up the question, are hate groups on the rise? I mean, you're living all over the country. Do you feel like there's this vibe out there, this negative thread that's growing, or not? Is it just a few extremist idiots, and that's life, and that happens, and it's depressing and awful and infuriates us all? In the case of this 88-year-old, it's kind of like, to me, he's trying to go out in a go out with a flurry, proving a point. This is what he's done his whole life. He was a guy who protested. He was a guy who did time for all kinds of different things. He claimed at one point to have planted a bomb, forcing a building's evacuation, the Federal Reserve, in fact, in Washington. And he told officers he was upset with high interest rates. Now, of course, this was back in the 80s, and the state of economy was in a recession then. It was like 81. So that was the rant there. He was 62 at the time. He was sentenced to 11 years in prison on attempted kidnapping, second-degree burglary, assault, weapons charges, because he went in just armed with a pistol, a shotgun, a knife, a mock bomb, all this other kind of stuff. And how he got in is he claimed to be a photographer who wanted to shoot pictures of the boardroom, and then he bolted upstairs when the security guards told him to wait. But that was 81. Now, obviously, a different story as he bursts into the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum and ends up killing a guard. Right now, he's fighting for his own life in a hospital in Washington, and he has lots of ties to a couple of different hardcore neo-Nazi organizations, and he calls himself a white supremacist. So, sadly, innocent people who were there just going to the museums, doing the Washington thing, had to witness that, and so sad, obviously, for the family of the guard who had been a guard employed at the place for 6 years. And think about that job. Are you really suspecting that someone's going to come in and do that? Well, of course you always have to be on your toes, but I don't think so. I don't think that in that calm you would see that storm coming towards you. So it unfolded early in the day. The guard, I guess, tried to do what he could to stop him, and unfortunately was right in harm's way. So he had a rifle, the white supremacist. He enters the museum. He shoots Stephen Tyrone Johns, who had been there, like I said, for over 6 years. And he tried to stop the 88-year-old man. That's what he did, and that's how he ended up, unfortunately. So you had a sixth-grade teacher in the museum, you had kids in the museum, and it's lucky that it wasn't a little bit worse, because it certainly could have been. And President Obama did release a statement. He said he was shocked and saddened by the shooting at the museum. He had just spoken about the Holocaust when he visited a Nazi concentration camp, if you remember, in that trip he just made. And I'll tell you, it's outrageous. I don't get this denial of the Holocaust. It's like Ahmadinejad. I mean, give me a break. So now the police are looking to piece together, you know, the how, the whys, and all that other sort of stuff, and we'll see if he survives or not. But the suspect is 88 years old, as I mentioned before, and ultimately he may survive. I hope he survives, and then he can get what he deserves. If there is such a thing as revenge or making you feel better, I think that has to happen in that case. Miss California, after all that we talked about, ends up losing her crown. And I know that's a hard left turn to make after just talking about, are we seeing a rise in hate groups in the United States? And you're definitely invited to sound off on that at 800-259-5791. But we spent a ton of time on this because many of you called up with opinions. Some not all backing her up, but a lot of people backing up Carrie Prejean, who broke her contract apparently, and that's all it was about. What was going on is not anything about topless photos or any of that kind of stuff. It was about missed appearances, because She, you know, when you're a Miss New Jersey, a Miss California, a Miss Illinois, whatever, they sign deals that say they will appear at X amount of places, and they have definite hardcore things that they have to do that are ironclad. And she was missing those appearances, is what's being said, and instead she was out speaking and doing other things, so she wasn't doing what she had to do as Miss California for the USA organization. And so if she's not going to do that, of course, it would be easy to dump her. And Trump really stood by her. So I think it was just a contractual thing. It's kind of a shock, though, isn't it? After we had all this hardcore coverage right in the middle of swine flu about a beauty queen and a question that was asked by Perez Hilton, the question heard round the world. For probably 3 weeks, people were talking about it. So it's so strange that all of a sudden, this just quietly happens. She's
fired.
I love it when he says that. He comes up with the line. They have that on T-shirts in New York. Play that again.
You're fired.
So cold. Theatrics. So I don't think that they quite said that to her, but they stripped her of her crown. So she's done after everything that happened just a few weeks ago, stepping into the middle of that controversy when she in April when she declared her opposition to same-sex marriage. And who knew it would end up like this? So was it the controversy that led to her losing her title, not contract issues? Because she was on a radio show in Los Angeles and said, I think it wasn't about the contract, it was about the controversy. And it was because of my answer that none of this would have happened, is her side of this, none of this would have happened if I had just said, yeah, gays should get married, you're right, Perez Hilton. So her take on this is, that's all false. That the reason she was dumped out ultimately, and it just came about more quietly, is not because of contract issues, but because of going back to the original thing, because of what she thought about the question of gay marriage, her answer on that. Does anyone care about this controversy? It's interesting. It did make, again, splashy headlines, but on a day when you have that horrible thing happening in Washington, and then you think of some of the things that we've seen in the last week, my goodness, sadly, the two soldiers cut down in front of the recruiting center. We were talking about that in Arkansas, and an arrest of a man who was radicalized when he was in prison in the Middle East and saying that he had no respect for the American military, for what they're doing in Iraq and Afghanistan, and that's why he gunned them down, and one died and one survived. Now you have this on the opposite end of the spectrum. An 88-year-old man, nobody suspecting anything, James Von Brunn walking into the museum, and suddenly a guard is dead, a guy who had been there for all those years, probably never encountering too many people protesting or certainly coming in shooting a gun. He came in with a long gun, just fired right away. And you had an exchange of fire. So I'm sure anybody in that museum, as you heard from the witnesses, they heard that the popping of the bullets, and all of a sudden a horrific thing happens there. We're going to talk more about this on the show, but we're going to talk about a couple of other things too, including the follow-up of that Air France disaster and ultimately what's happening there and how they're piecing it all together. And the black box, does it really hold all the crash answers? I was talking to a pilot back east today about that. How vital is that information? How much emphasis really has to be put on that? And I'll tell you about that coming up. Hang with us on America Tonight.
You're fired.
Hi, this is Alex Jones. Did you know that the global elite are now storing non-hybrid seeds in secret storage vaults near the Arctic Circle? Did you know that in a real meltdown, non-hybrid seeds can become more valuable than silver or gold? It's true, seeds have outperformed even gold and silver before in this country, and it's possible that could even happen again. So our friends at Solutions from Science have put together the perfect mix of non-hybrid seeds. They call it a survival seed bank, and it can produce an endless supply of nutrient-dense food for you and your family. And here's the best part. These seeds have not been genetically modified in any way, and you actually get enough seeds to plant a full acre crisis garden. So visit them today at survivalseedbank.com. That's survivalseedbank.com, or give them a call at 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365. Remember, in a real crisis, non-hybrid seeds are the ultimate barter item. This is Alex Jones for SurvivalSeedBank.com.
Are you concerned about an economic downfall? Would you like to have more money to invest in precious metals, food, and safety of your loved ones? With the Debt Crisis Solutions Program, you can finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy. This is not debt counseling, settlement, or debt consolidation, which may have serious legal and tax consequences. With our program, you will not pay another penny to your creditors or collectors. Protect your home, paycheck, and bank account from any lawsuits and restore your credit history. We also provide mortgage modification services, which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure problems, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123 today.
Did you know many vitamin and mineral supplements on the market are made from rocks and ground-up shells? Think about that. Would you swallow a handful of shells you found at the beach? Our body wasn't designed to digest rocks and shells. Hello, my name is Dr. David Friedman, formulator of Choose for Health, a delicious-tasting, chewable dietary supplement derived from 16 fruits, vegetables, and antioxidants. Unlike hard-to-digest pills, Choose for Health is a convenient chewable which allows for better digestion. The choice is yours. Swallow rocks and shells to supplement your diet or a natural chewable product you can better digest. Choose for Health, the world's first superfruit, sea vegetable, antioxidant chewable. Whole food nutrition, not rocks and shells. 1-800-210-1922. Call now and receive a free copy of my best-selling CD, America's Unbalanced Diet. 1-800-210-1922. Or go to orderchoose.com.
This white supremacist going in and opening fire at the U.S. National Holocaust Museum in Washington, the latest in a series of some extreme things we're seeing in the United States. That's where we start. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight, East, West, and everywhere in between. It's interesting because I've now started to read a lot in the last couple of months about this, not just in light of what happened to today, but do you feel that there are groups that are very, very extreme and dangerous? Not groups expressing their opinions and disagreeing, because we live in a country that is free, baby, and it's about freedom of speech. And I might not like what somebody says, but I am all about protecting that freedom of speech. I don't want to live in North Korea, in Kim Jong-il's world, and have propaganda pumped into my brain as I sit in my living room and I'm told what I can do and what I should do and all this other sort of stuff. So I believe in freedom of speech, even if it's ugly and nasty and we don't like it, right? If you and I don't like it, I still would protect the person's right. I just wouldn't pay attention to it. I wouldn't be involved in it. But when you're talking about violence, that's a completely different story. There is an organization called the Southern Poverty Law Center. They have an intelligence project. That's what they're working on. And they've been tracking hate groups for about 30 years. We're going to get their director on hopefully tomorrow, but he's been pretty busy, especially in light of what's happened in the last couple of weeks. So In the spring of 2009, they found that 926 hate groups are actually flourishing in the United States, and they say it's an all-time high. And when we talk about hate groups, what they classify them as would be the Ku Klux Klan, neo-Nazis, racist skinheads, and black separatists as well would be, you know, would be a part of that 926. And what they're attributing it to, the rise in the hate groups, is because of the recession, right? So they're in, you get the poverty. People are desperate, feel hateful, resentful, the unemployment, all that other sort of stuff. And then also pointing to the fact that you have the first black president ever, and then the raging immigration debate ignites a lot of this too. And that ebbs and flows, I think, because that's not front and center right now in Washington, but it certainly is in any of the border states in particular, and where there's lots of problems like California, Texas having lots of problems, Florida having problems even where they are in their corner of the world, certainly Arizona finding themselves in the same boat, New Mexico having problems. When I say having problems, if they're feeling a pinch like a hospital budgetary-wise and deciding whether or not to treat people who are here illegally because they don't have anywhere to send a bill and nobody pays, and, for example, a hospital that happens to be located in Dallas, it's called Parkland Hospital, they sent like a $2 million bill to Mexico, and they just, of course, laughed because who are you sending the bill to? So all those kinds of discussions, what to do, the path to citizenship, all that sort of stuff, enrages the ugly side of these extremist movements. Like I said, I'm about free speech, and I think and that's what America Tonight's all about. You might not agree with me, you might agree with me, it doesn't matter, because I'm all about inviting you to the party. This is why I love being an American, because we're able to do this. As a woman on the radio, are you kidding? A broad on the radio? Think I could do that? Think I could do that in North Korea? I don't think so. Be pretty tricky in China as well. So there is a difference. But the thing that they're pointing to the most, surprisingly, it's not about that we have a black president so much. It's not even about the economic downturn. It really is to the whole immigration thing, that's the most significant thing. Because that's skin color, that's we're Americans, and why should you be here, and all that other sort of stuff. And also what happens, I guess, with some of these groups, the blame for not having the jobs. And we saw that happen in Texas and Arizona and California, where at one point a lot of the construction jobs and the new homes and all that stuff didn't go to the people who had been doing it their whole lives. It went to the guys that were hanging around on the street, the day laborers that these folks were hiring that didn't speak English and that were in the country illegally. You know, you watch that show Weeds. They poke fun at it. You watch a lot of different things. Boy, you watch some of the news investigative pieces. They've had them on 60 Minutes in 2020 and others. So there's no denying what it is. But the hatred that's fueling, how do you turn that around? I mean, what do? You're the national security advisor. Or not even that. You're the homeland security advisor. Janet Napolitano, this really falls in on her plate, and along with that border czar, that position that they just started, those two, I think, have the chore of figuring out what to do to quell this storm. It's because every week we're seeing something like this. You know, you're going to have extremist behavior. You're going to have some nutball do something that's so sad and ugly and tragic you don't even want to watch the evening news anymore. Because that's what it's about, right? So those things are going to happen, but there has to be, I think there has to be a way to maybe steer the conversation in a different direction. I don't know. And something has to happen, I think, in this country, and that's probably part of the problem. And that immigration problem, I mean, shame on the elected officials who could have dealt with this a long time ago. Let's be honest about it. I mean, what do I always say on America Tonight? It's about action, not reaction, and all the immigration stuff has been about reaction. There were laws on the books for over 25 years that weren't enforced. And why? Because people wanted cheap labor. So they were inviting in cheap labor. They didn't care about documentation. It wasn't about any of that. It was about how cheaply can I get things made and how much money can I make and get away with this. And then everybody's looking the other way. Because as far as busts, you hardly had any on the books. When you go back and look, there weren't very many. There were a couple of factories and meat packing plants every once in a while. So that was not being enforced. So then it swells and it gets worse and other things start to happen and more people cross over. And this is what it leads to. That's what the problem is. But we can't go back in time. We can't rectify that. So we have to move forward. So what's the answer as you move forward? That's what you have to think about. The answer is, number one, to officially put some laws, new laws, I guess, on the book that make sense. And maybe Obama, who says he's doing more of these town hall meetings, this has to be something that's talked about. Go deep into the South. Go to other parts of California. Go to the East. Go to the Midwest and talk to people and find out what's really happening, what really is ticking. Not reports you're reading and not what you're getting from the FBI bureau that happens to be located in a four-corner area for a couple of states. Not that kind of stuff. Not the stuff you already know, but the stuff that's starting to percolate in projects and starting to happen in situations where people feel very poverty-stricken and feel as though they haven't gotten theirs. You know, you hear about the bailouts and everything else. I think that all leads into the same thing. Hey, I got a ton of email from you here, and you can send me email at americatonight.net. Quickly, I'm going to rifle through a bunch of them right before we wrap it up in the stretch here on this hour. One's from Doc. Doc says, Kate, thumbs up. I listen to the show every night. Sometimes I have a hard time getting through. Would you say the 800 number a couple more times? Okay, 800-259-5791. Don't call right now, though. And Doc says, thumbs down to what that idiot in Washington did. Too bad they didn't gun him down before he fatally wounded that poor guard. It could have been much worse. Here's one from Jane. Jane listening to us in Vermont. Kate, listen to the show every night that I can catch it, as long as I can keep my eyes open. Sometimes you do some really funny news stories. Do some more of those. I'm also going to say that what happened in Washington was an atrocity. I heard you mention it at the top of the show. I completely agree with you. My prayers go out to the family of that guard. Amen. Send me your thoughts, americatonight.net.
Here's the dealer.